My name is Christina M. Ramirez. I am in the C Chief Empowerment Officer of Triathlon Mummy Inc. and Dastrum Coaching.
Could you tell me a little bit about your own mental health journey?
Sure. So I was always very anxious, and when I was in my early 20s, I was suicidal. And I don't know the path of how exactly I got there. I took anxiety medication, and I was 100% addicted to them. And between that and not having any self-esteem whatsoever, led me to this point of real desperation where I just didn't think there was a, like I honestly thought the world would be better without me in it, like in that moment. But what I realized, I ended up getting help, thankfully. And what I realized is that I didn't want to die. I just wanted to stop feeling the way I was feeling, and I didn't know how. And I didn't believe that there was a that there was a way out of there. So I can see that now. So I went into treatment. I got off drugs. I've been sober for 21 years, and my mental health journey has been, like it's something that I always am very attuned to, of how I'm feeling about life and the world, and that I take good care of how I'm feeling.
So, what inspired you then to become a chief empowerment officer?
Well, I think, when I got sober through Alcoholics Anonymous. And there is a thing there that's called like the promises. And at the end of every meeting, they read in Florida where I got sober, they would read these promises. And it's like, as long as you stay sober, you will get this and that, like a life beyond your wildest dreams, blah, blah, blah. And I wanted that. Like, I really wanted that. So I did everything that I was told. Like you told me I had to believe the sky was purple, I would have done it. I would have done anything to not feel the way I was feeling and to get those promises. And I did. I got married, I had kids, and I got into sports, I got into racing, and I just developed this new identity almost, like, because doing these difficult things with sports build character, and that's how I wanted to teach other people to do that, right? Like, you don't have to be an addict to get this kind of life. Like, you can do it on your own. And I think that's what inspired me to start that journey.
Yeah, and can you tell me a little bit about the process and what you do to help people?
Sure. So I there it's twofold. So I my company focuses on confidence, empowerment, resilience, that kind of stuff. So one thing that we do is that we teach it to kids through running games and drills. So I created a curriculum called Empower Fit. And it basically, because when I ran my first 5K, you would have thought that I had, like won an Olympic gold medal by how I felt. And so I created a curriculum where kids could feel that every time they came to class. Like, it's their games, but they're challenging. But on the other side of that challenge is this incredible sense of like, oh my God, I just did that. So that's what we do on one side. And then the lessons that we teach the kids, I created a curriculum to teach like in companies. So I'll go into a company and I'll work with like their sales teams, or with any team actually, but focusing on grit and resilience and confidence. And then I also help individual people with a program called Unchained Confidence. And it's a coaching program for people to kind of have this sense of like they're going to be okay no matter what. Like, life is not fair, and tough things happen to all of us, but they create this sense of like, I'm going to show up for it, and no matter what, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to handle this. And that's what I teach people to do.
And with you talked about confidence, with that, how does it feel when you see people achieve that confidence?
It's wonderful. It's the best thing ever. And I've coached, now my programs have reached like over 11,000 people. And knowing and seeing somebody that comes in and they're like shy and unsure, and like their body language and the words that they use are all very they're not strong in the sense of like they're not portraying that confidence. So to work with them and then see them on the other side of that, and then knowing that that person, that new confident person, will do things that I can never imagine. Like, we all have in us the power to do all these amazing things, but we don't because we're too afraid. So to know that I brought somebody, I believed in somebody until they could believe in themselves, to get them to a point for them to go and do whatever it is that they're going to do that's going to be amazing, that feels like that's the biggest joy.
What's the difference in between working with kids than adults?
Kids are a lot easier because kids, you tell them a story and they believe you, and they don't question everything that you say, and they don't have all those years of conditioning and of experiences that have told them, well, you are this, like, so for an adult, you can tell them something and it's like, look, this is possible, and they'll even believe you. It's like, yes, this is possible, but blah 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 blah, like, and then like all the stories from all their, like, everything that they've heard throughout their life comes up. So it's harder to break that habit, because I believe that confidence is just a habit. It's a way of thinking, and you just have to condition that habit. And adults don't have that much patience, and they have a lot, they have a lot of conditioning to do. Like, you don't go to the gym, do a sit-up, and expect a six-pack. Same thing isn't going to happen here.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
I take good care of my mental health because I know where I would go without that, right? So I'm very good about exercising. I like nature a lot, so I go snowboarding in the winter. I go hiking in the summer. I take the time. I meditate every day. I'd like to say that I eat super healthy, but that's not always the case. But it's funny because I give my clients like a self-care checklist, just so they can see how they love themselves and how they treat themselves. And I have a lot of check marks there. Like, I take the time to take care of myself, because if I'm not working, no, nobody else is. Like, nobody, I can't be good and show up in the world like I want to show up.
What have you learned from your own kids?
For my own kids, my kids are so different than I was, because they grew up with two sober parents. My husband is deceased, but he was sober the while he was alive. And they grew up with this run club. Like, they were my students for like 6 years. So they don't have the fear that I have. And sometimes they'll go and they're performers because they're into music, and they'll just go and they'll perform in front of like 2,000 people, and like, are you nervous? And they're like, I'm like, okay. It's so I learned from them that it is possible to have a growth mindset, that it is possible to just think a different way. It's just I was never taught how.
How does talking to people and helping other people help your own journey?
Well, I think that the more you talk about your journey, the less foreign it becomes, right? So, like, today, if you would have told me, oh, talk about, your when you were suicidal, I don't know, 20 years ago, a year out from that, I wouldn't have been able to, or maybe I would have, like, it was just too close. So the more I talk about it and open about it, then the easier it is for you to integrate that story. And then it's like, okay, this happened. This was a part of my life, and that's it. It's just like, it's an event. Check. We're past beyond that. And so when you're helping somebody else that is, a few steps behind you in your journey of self-development, of confidence, of whatever, A, it reminds you a little bit of what it was like, and you get really grateful for where you are. But also, helping people feels good,
Yeah.
it just does. And in fact, I teach people that when you don't ask somebody for help, you're actually being selfish because you're denying somebody the opportunity of feeling good. So if you need help, but you don't ask me for help and I can't help you, then I don't get that feeling of feeling good that comes with helping you. So asking for help is actually a gift for the other person. That's how I see it.
And do you see the stigma of just talking about mental health lessening?
Oh, absolutely. When even from when I got sober 20 years ago, it was always like I was an embarrassment to my family. Like nobody talked about it, And nowadays, fortunately, in schools, I see that like my kids are in high school. Like I see there's a lot of concern for teen mental health, and because it is a crisis, like it's the second leading cause of death for teenagers. And 9% of high schoolers have attempted on, suicide. Like that's crazy. So to have more conversations around it is so good because, now these things can be talked about and we can get to those kids that need help. And I don't know what the percentages were 50 years ago, but I don't think they were also calculated in the way that they're now,
Right.
there's so much more attention given to it.
Yeah, what would you say to anyone going through a tough time right now?
There's the way that you feel this very hot minute is not the way that you have to feel for the rest of your life. And I think that when I was at my worst, when somebody, like if once I don't know if somebody told me that or whenever that thought came, it's like the way I'm feeling isn't going to be forever. I just have to hang in there long enough for it to pass. That was a game changer. So it can be that your life is upside down and that nothing is working, and whatever it is that happened to you, that at this moment you're feeling really down and like you're really struggling, and you can change. Like you will come out of it. This is not how you're going to feel forever, but you've got to get up and just do the next right thing. And you don't have to like fix everything at once. Just next, just think a better thought. Like just one little step. One little step, one little step, and you will claw, you out of where you are. But you've got to take those steps. And the motivation is like for me was those promises in AA. Like I promise you that it's not going to be like this forever, as long as you just like do the next right thing, do the next right thing, and you'll get out of there.
Where do you want to see your mission in the next few years?
I want, I'm an author and I'm a public speaker and all of those things. And I want to be out in the world as much as I can so that, maybe one per like if one person benefits from me sharing how crazy I was in my 20s, that's, that's good enough for me. But I do want to reach as many people as possible. So I am, trying to be out there, coming to podcasts, coming to conferences, speaking, and just being a voice for there is life after this. And not only that, but like you can, like confidence is that habit. Like you want to do anything in your life, you can. Whoever told you that you can't was lying. It's just not easy. It's not like, oh, I want to be an astronaut and I can be an astronaut tomorrow. No, you've got to, learn and study and do all the things. But there's no reason why you can't. It's just, I think people expect it to be easy and it's not, but it's 100% possible.
How is it being a public speaker?
It's fun. I mean, I love it. I was a teacher before, so I like teaching. And I think the one thing that I'm good at is getting complex topics and just kind of making them a little simpler for people. And being in front of an audience, and when you see that they're paying attention and they're not like scrolling on their phones or like, oh my God, when is this going to finish? When they're engaged, like you can tell that they're engaged with your content. That's a huge, huge, like it's like a natural high, right? It's just like this feeling of like, oh my God, that was so good. That was so fun. I love it.